Okay.
Hold on a second.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, that's okay.
Just before we begin, Hashem, the next year will be 2 weeks from tonight. So I want to continue the topic that we discussed last. Nothing. Everything's the same.
Yeah. Harry, it's
I want to continue the shiur from last week. Last week we began discussing the different issues involved in a doctor going to medical school. Last week we really discussed the crux of the issue and the...
A Kohen, sorry.
Doctors
usually go to medical
school. No, doctors never go to medical school. Doctors going to medical school, that's a problem, right? So about a Kohen going to medical school. And last week we discussed really the meat and the potatoes of the issue from the halachic standpoint, and that is that there are two basic shitos which are yeshitos yichidaos, which are at times pointed to. One shita is the shita of the Ravid that says, bizman hazeh, since everyone is already tamei, so there's no problem in becoming tamei again. There's no concept of becoming tamei again. Once you're tamei, you're tamei. So there's no problem coming into contact with a dead body because he's already tamei. That's one shita of the Ravid. On its own, we can't rely on that because we already passed in like the Rambam, like the overwhelming majority of the Rishon.
The Ravid would say you could go to
the Ravid would say, yeah,
go right into a funeral home.
Right. Well, we'll get back to this in a second. What?
No, you can't keep on coming.
So that is the shita of the Rambam. The Ravid seems to say that that's not a problem. Once you're tamei forever. It doesn't make a difference whether you become tamei again. There's no concept of becoming tamei again. That was the machlokes Rambam and Ravid. We pointed out that the Ravid alone wouldn't help us. Then there was the shita of the Yoreim. The shita of the Yoreim was that a non-Jew, again, question how he learns the Gemara and Yevamos, but he held that a non-Jew is not mitamei, since most of the world are non-Jews, and we would have no way of identifying whether the cadaver is Jewish or not Jewish, although nowadays there are ways to identify, and this did become an issue at a certain point in time. Do you have to look into it? Because again, Nivul Hames, just to go on a little bit of a tangent, Nivul Hames is a problem in general. Forget a Kohen and a cadaver. Just for us to be working with Jewish cadavers would be a problem. So there was somewhat of a controversy in a certain medical school where they realized that they were getting Jewish bodies. But that's for a separate time. Now if we assume that the bodies, as most of them are, non-Jewish bodies, so then the shita of the Yoreim was that there would not be mitame. Again, these are both shitas which are rejected. And then we looked at the shita of the Nodi Behuda, which tried to combine both of these shitas to make a sfeik sfeika, ultimately being rejected, first of all, for a few reasons, but most prominently, they found another shita, another source where the Ravid himself wrote that I never meant to permit it. All I meant is that you're not chayiv malchus. Even the Ravid was masking, agreed that it was aser. He just said you're not going to be chayiv malchus. Once the Ravid himself is saying that it's aser, so then less man de palag, there's nothing to stand on, and we're back to the to stage one. So what are we going to do with the... is there any other thing to be Samechan? So there was a tremendous chiddush from Rav Goren. Rav Goren came up with a tremendous chiddush, very creative. Again, most poskim rejected out of hand, and we'll see why in a minute. But there was a doctor who I spoke to recently who mentioned to me that he did get a heter from Rav Herzog. And he didn't tell me the details of the heter. But I assume that the heter was based on this psak of Rav Goren, even though, again, the overwhelming majority of poskim do not accept it. What was Rav Goren's heter? So let's take a look at the Marmar Kalmus again. Rav Goren introduces us to an idea found in Maramakam number 16, in the parsha of Tumas Ameis, where the Torah tells us as follows. Zos haTorah Adam ki yomus ba'ol kol aba el ha'ol v'chol asher ba'ol yitma shivas yomim. Tumas oils mitame shivas yomim v'chol kli pasuach asher ain't samir pasil lav tamehu. Here's the important pasuk for us. V'chol asher yiga al pnei hasada b'chalal cherev over meis over etzem adam over kover yitma shivas yomim. Whoever touches al pnei hasada b'chalal cherev over meis. What's b'chalal cherev? So, cherev is literally a sword, chalal is the corpse. So, it's bechalal cherev. So, the Gemara makes the following drasha in Meseches Nazir, Marmakum number 17. Titania, Oichal Asher Yiga al Pene Hasada bechalal, Vikol Asher Yiga, sorry, the Aleph is a mistake, Vikol Asher Yiga al Pene Hasada bechalal cherev, Oi Bemes. Cherev harezeu kechol. Why does the pasuk say cherev and chala? To teach us a chiddush, cherev harezu kechol. What does it mean, cherev harezu kechol? So for this, we have to take a look at the Rambam in the next Maramakum. Maramakum number 18, where the Rambam tells us as follows. Kalim shenitmu b'meis, ben b'maga, ben b'oil, harehen l'nogeya b'hen, k'nogeya b'meis atzmo. Ma ha-meis mitame ha-nogeya bo, ben ba-odem, ben kelim, tum ha-shiva, af kelim shenitmu b'meis, heim ba-kelim, o ha-odem shiyiga b'hen tumeyim tum ha-shiva. Shenemar b'chalol cherev o b'meis. The Rambam comes and tells us the Chiddush. B'chalol cherev tells us, cherev harehu kecholah. What does that mean? That the cherev, the item, according to the Rambam, all kelim, but according to most who showed him, metal items that became tameh via contact with a dead body, they themselves attain the status as if they are a reflection of the dead body. They are an extension of the dead body. So the metal item that came into contact with the dead body, in itself, we view it as a dead body in halacha. That's the chiddush of cherev harehu kechol. Take a look at Tosis number 19. Cherev harehu kechol. The kli matochos hanogim b'meis. Metal objects that touch, metal kelim that touch a dead body, naasim avi avos atumah. They become the highest level of tumah, which is reserved only for that of a dead body. They are avi avos hatumah. They get the status of a dead body. Kimeis atzmo, like a dead body, litame adam, to be mitame other people, hanogeyabo, who touch him, mitame tumashiva, kinogeyab imeis atzmo. So we have a chiddush of cherev harehu kechol. Not only does a dead body mitame a mitame people, also the cherev, the sword, literally the metal object, mitame people. So how is this going to help us when it comes to doctors? So let's take a look. Says Tosfos in Maseches Nozim, the next Maramakum number 20. A question that Rabbeinu Chaim HaKohen, one of the Balei Tosfos, sent to, I believe it was Rabbeinu Tam. V'sholach lo Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen is a bias asher tivnuli de'ein nozim migaleach alav. Says Rabbeinu Chaim, once I have this chiddush of cherev harehu kechol, that the metal item takes on the status of a dead body itself, so that means that any metal object which came into contact or was in the same ola as a dead body, that itself becomes like a tumah meis. So Rabbeinu Chaim Kohen says, what house am I allowed to go into? Most houses, at one point in time, a dead body was in it, right? Assuming the body was in the home, there was a body in the home when it died. And therefore, there's a metal object in that house. That metal object becomes like a mace itself.
Forever.
And once it's presumably forever, and once it becomes, or at least until it goes to mikveh, once it becomes like a dead body, so then it's mitame kohanim. I can't be in the same house as that. Oh, so that's not so clear. It sounds like from this that we're assuming not. That's a machlokes rishonim as well. So we will seem to pass that it is. But based on this, says the Shulchan Aruch in the following Maramakum number 21. Hakohen muzer shelo litame b'meis. A kohen can't come in contact with a dead body. V'lo l'kol tumas ha-parshos. Not to any tumah that comes out of that comes forth from it. Yesh omrim, this is the Ramah speaking, de kohanim asurim litame l'cherev, that a kohen is asur to become in contact with the cherev, with the sword literally, shenitma b'meis, that became tamei through a dead body. Kobo b'shem sefi reim, v'tshuva rabbi, v'shem rabbi sefi rabbi. V'yesh mikilim, v'cheinogu lahakal. So now, Rabbeinu Chaim said, I have a problem, I'm not allowed to go into any house because it has the status of a dead body. So some Rishonim say, nah, it has the status of a dead body that it makes someone tummy like a dead body, but there's no iser for a Kohen to come into contact with that metal. And that's how the Ramah paskins. How did the Kohanim live? They're not nervous about any metal that was in the same place as a dead body. How do they do it? Because this is something which is mitame, midaraisa, it makes someone tumah, it's cherev harehu kecholah, but still it's not usher for a kohen to come into contact. The type of tumah which is not off bet limits for a kohen. Comes Rav Goran with the following tremendous chish. He says, I'll take this Ramah. That means this Ramah says, I could become tame to cherev harehu kecholah. Okay? Now let's remember, going back to the shita of the Ravid, that we had the Shita, the Ravid, and the Rambam, the Machlokes, Ravid, and Rambam, that we had at the beginning of last week. The Machlokes at the beginning of the last week was, once someone is Tamei, is it Asur for them to become Tamei again? So the Ravid said no. The Rambam said yes, it's still Asur for them to become Tamei. But the Rambam said, only if you're not no longer touching the dead body. if you're still touching the original dead body, and now I touch another dead body, so that is not a separate iser. When I'm still in contact with the tumah itself, I could become tumah with another source of tumah. That's not a problem. When does the Rambam say it's aser? If I let go of that dead body, now for me to touch it again is another problem. So says Rav Goren as follows. This is what we'll do. You'll have a kohen who wants to go to medical school. So he gets accepted to medical school. You give him a watch, a beautiful, nice metal watch. You go, you metame the metal watch. Now this metal watch, you touch it to a mace. Now this metal watch is cherev harehu kecholo. Now a kohen's not usher for cherev harehu kecholo, right? A kohen is allowed to touch cherev harehu kecholo. So now you give him this tummy watch. He puts it on, and he is as if he's constantly touching a dead body. So he's constantly touching a dead body. Even the Rambam agrees, if I'm constantly touching the dead body, and that's not usher for me, now I'm allowed to go and touch other dead bodies. I can do whatever I want on a cadaver. This was the heter of Rav Goren. And again, he was not accepted for the following reason. Most of the poskim said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. If you are saying that it's not usher for a kohen, then you're basically saying it's on a lower level, and it would still be usher for me to touch an actual dead body. If you're saying that it's actually like a dead body where I could go ahead and touch a different dead body, that means that it would be usher for a kohen. So you got to pick it. If you're going to be makel with regards to a kohen, that means it's still not exactly like a dead body, and therefore to go and be tame to a real cadaver would still be usher. But Rav Goren had this tremendously creative chaf, and that from what I understand, that this is how he paskin, this wasn't just theoretical, he paskin like this, lemaisa. And that's at what, if there are kohanim that do go to medical school, and they work on cadavers, so this is presumably what they are being make on. What I want to discuss the rest of the shir is I wanted to discuss a personality, another personality who is in line with many of the personalities we have been discussing, and that's why I figured out I'll finish off this genre, maybe one or two weeks of personalities. And he does have a tshuva that relates somewhat to this topic, so I figured we will just jump from this topic of a kohen going to a doctor to the topic that this tshuva is written about. What's the topic this tshuva is written about? So Rav David Zvi Hoffman was asked the following question. Rav David Zvi Hoffman was asked, let's say I have a kohen who's in medical school. Okay, he didn't ask me before for good reason, but he's in medical school. Now he wants to get called up for an aliyah. Now he wants to duchen. So what do I do with him now? He didn't ask me about going to medical school. That wasn't the question. And he's not asking that on purpose. But he wants to know, I want to come up in your shul and I want to duchen. I want to get the aliyah of kohen. What do we say at that point? So once we got this far and discussed whether a kohen could be a doctor or not, so let's just take it home and let's discuss this. Let's for a few minutes first discuss who Rav David, the giant of a figure. Who was Rav David Zvi Hoffman? So Rav David Zvi Hoffman, again, what I meant by saying this genre of people, again, a person who really was on the battlefield. On the battlefield is the time of that the Reform movement was getting going. The time of that Haskalah was really underway. And he engaged. He engaged tremendously. He's probably, perhaps he's more well known amongst the scholarly world, the academic world, and even in the Olam HaYeshivas. And most of his works, except for the tshuvas that we will be reading from tonight, the tshuvas of the Malam of the Hohel, are actually in the academic, in the critical, academic world, in the scholarly world, and he very much was engaged in what they called at that time the Wissenschaft. The Wissenschaft was people who wanted to apply the scientific methods, the critical analysis that was being applied to all other disciplines. They wanted to apply it to Judaica as well. They wanted to apply it to learning Tanakh. They wanted to apply it to learning Gemara, Torah Shebaal Peh. So Rav Yaakov Zvi Hoffman, was very involved in this. He was born in the year 1843, and he died in the year 1921. The reason why he's such an important figure, again, because he played such an important role in this on the battlefield. Again, without giving, at a certain point, as we will see, he was cast aside by certain communities. But it's without, what he did was tremendous. He didn't throw away any of his principles. His principles, his faith was totally unwavering. He wasn't willing to give on anything, but he set his border boundaries very clearly. He said, this I will be willing to give on, This I'm willing to think about, I'm willing to change, I'm willing to discuss. This I'm not willing to discuss. So he really, for the community that was being affected by it, he was a tremendous pillar, and he was probably someone who saved the community to a certain respect. But the reason why he was so effective is, again, as we discussed with many other personalities, is they had the entire range. They had a tremendous spectrum. Rav David Zvi-Nachman started his learning in Presburg, in the school of the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer was already Nifter, but in the school of the Ksav Sofer, his son, the Maram Shik, the Talmud Muvok of the Chassam Sofer. Now again, remember, the Chassam Sofer was the traditionalist, was the person who was holding the fort, saying everyone else, Ot Chodesh, as we saw a few weeks ago, Chodesh Asim Min HaTorah, anything new is Asim Min HaTorah. So Rav David Zvi-Nachman begins over there, he begins in those yeshivas, and he never leaves it. He has tremendous respect for it all the way through. But yet, as we will see in his own words, he engages the other world tremendously, to a tremendous extent. Al-Kidekach, that he is the primary person writing. Again, we're talking about a time when the documentary hypothesis was becoming very popular. When it was written, when it was becoming very popular, this was the movement of the time. This was the wave of the time. And he was the person who wrote the from response to it. So you can imagine how important of a person he was. So let's just read a little bit from his what they write over here on Wikipedia. Though born in Hungary, he adapted, in some ways was the prototype of a contemporary Orthodox Jewish scholar, facing the ubiquitous tensions of between faithfulness to tradition and the demands of critical inquiry. And this we'll see in his own world, in his own words we'll see, which was a chiddush to me preparing for the shiur, that he himself writes that he grappled with this tension. He was in both worlds, and he wasn't willing to give in to either side. Though born in Hungary, in the school of the Chassam Sofer, in the world of the Chassam Sofer, he adapted German-Jewish approach of openness towards general culture, world, and society. He employed the critical scientific method to the Talmud and wrote about the history of the development of the form of the oral law. So what happens? He starts off in the school of the Chassam Sofer. Then ultimately he works his way down to Germany. He's a teacher in Rav Hirsch's school, which is fascinating because he's very close to Rav Hirsch. Then ultimately he moves down to Rav Israel's Hildesheimer's school in Berlin. At a certain point he gets his doctorate. What does he write his doctorate about? First doctorate of its type, Mar Shmuel. He writes a biography about the character Shmuel in the Gemara. This was deemed heresy by no less than Rav Hirsch himself. So Rav Hirsch at a certain point calls him a kofer. You can't apply the scientific method to our learning. We don't do that. That's a breach in our Mesorah. But again, he's still a Rosh Yeshiva in the Hildesheimer Seminary, and he's very much has a very big following, and is the leader of that community, both in the academic world for sure, in terms of the Frum community, and he is the leading Paisik as well, as we will see. So again, he played both roles. So he goes from Rav Hirsch's school to Hildesheimer's school. He writes this thing called Mar Shmuel, which got him into big trouble. What else did he write? So he wrote a number of things. Most of them, as I mentioned, academic works. Now, he wasn't willing to bend at all on Torah Shebichsav, and any, obviously, we believe one of the Yigimel Ikrim is Torah Shebichsav, all written by Torah Moshe. So his defense, and he writes this clearly, he says, I will not bend on anything. But what he did bend on, and perhaps to much people's dismay, is the Torah Shebaal Peh. And he discussed at great length the evolution, if you will, of Torah Shebaal Peh, and perhaps added even Chidushim. And he said, these things aren't tenet, these things evolved, and these are things which we can discuss, how Torah Shebaal Peh exactly evolved. And he called his sefer about this the Ershta Mishnah, the first Mishnah. He discusses the evolution of Torah Shebaal Peh. He discusses at tremendous length, he has many svarim, discussing Medrash Halacha. What's involved in Medrash Halacha, what's in the Bavli, what's in the Yerushalmi, what the differences, the different strains of Medrash Halacha. His only, again, normal, I would say, rabbinic work is probably this Sefer, the Sefer of Tshuvas, which he's most well known for, and that is the Melamed Leho. Again, a lot of German, many of his works were written in German, as he will himself say. A lot of these Tshuvas also had a lot of German, and one of the great things that this edition did was that they translated even those parts into Hebrew. So let's just read a little bit more. Again, the impression you get when you read the history books, the impression I always had of David Zvi-Nachman as an overpowering figure with a strong backbone, the impression you get of the one biography from a person, biographical sketch from a person who actually met him, he was a very quiet, simple person, like we would expect, like a pious tzaddik sitting in the corner, not a strong personality at all. They write here as follows, and from this biography, those who knew him while he was still alive know that his personality was as great as his Torah. One would have to return to the medieval period to witness such a persona among the German or French Hasidim. He was a man with no sense of his own greatness. He did not write much in Hebrew, as we will see. For the most part, he wrote in Hebrew only when he was composed halachic responsa, as we will see. Notes and a handful of commentaries. Why? Because, as he explained, the Wissenschaft, the wave of the time, if you wanted to engage the academic world, so then you had to write in German. They weren't taking you seriously if you wrote in Hebrew. Rabbi Hoffman had an extensive, multifaceted grasp of European learning. He knew classical languages thoroughly, studied Semitic languages, and mastered several European languages. His knowledge spanned the entire range of the Lightman learning and science. His responsa, which we will read from tonight, were published posthumously. Others edited them for publication. He never intended to publicize them, and most products were of their time, Litzorech Shah. The goal of Rabbi Hoffman, and this really sums it all up, and his teacher, Rabbi Hildesheimer, Israel Hildesheimer, was to fortify the borders of the Wissenschaft so that it could not harm tradition. This is what was his life's mission, that he's going to set up the borders, what you can say and what can't be said, so that it will not infiltrate our Mesorah, not destroy or hamper with our Mesorah. And so the traditional ideology would not be harmed by Wissenschaft scholarship. So that was his goal of life, that was his life mission. Let's just read a little bit of his words, how in his Agdama to Milamed Leho. So first of all, they bring over here very interesting situations, where he himself, you see, again, he's known in history as a quite liberal, as a person who was willing to bend different standards than perhaps the traditional Chassam Sofer school. But if you see throughout his tshuvas, he often takes the hard line and says, even though I could come up with halachic rationalization to matter whatever you want, we can't do it. It's going to lead to pirtza, something which you would find. You wouldn't be surprised at all to find in the tshuvas of the Chassam Sofer, but to see that he's doing the same thing and he understood the challenges of the time is fascinating. For instance, one example over here was about an organ. They wanted to bring an organ into the synagogue. So he writes, even if I will tell you and I come conclude that there's no problem with b'chukoseim lo seilecho, mikom makom ein lehatira, mishum shemachka b'zeh hafi karsim. Right? Because they're the ones who got involved with it. It's going to lead, if we follow them in this, who knows what else it's going to lead to. A similar example, he talks about being Mesara Kedushin for a mummer. He says, I think it's mutter amnam imnira shiyesh ligdur geder b'bnei ha-mispartzen b'vaday ein lahaniach l'krosa l'tar. Talking about being o l'tara a mummer. If you're allowed to call him up for an aliyah. So again, you see that he's definitely not a pure, just going with whatever's mutter, we're going to allow. He definitely had a strong respect for the Messiah, but I think he obviously understood that the times needed someone to engage. It wasn't enough to just put up the brick walls anymore. So he writes as follows, and this is fascinating to see in his own words how he perceived himself. He says, I'm a man of two worlds. As we discussed, he's a man of the world of the Chassam Sofer, and he's a man of the new world. And he says, a lot of people, when they engage in this bikoris, critical thinking, when they engage in critical study, they forget the world in his lashon. Amnam gam zeh nisayin meid she'anashim hishlichu acharei gavim halimud be'iyun b'derech asher darko b'ga'onei basroi huhu hanoide b'yehudu b'kivi egrich chassam sofer. These people, when they engage in the academic and the scholarship, they forget all about Rabbi Kiva Eger, they forget all about Chassam Sofer, they forget all about the Noyde Behuda. This is Al Pihem Anu Chayim. V'rak me'atim heima asher motza yodam leleches derech kedima la'asuka shmaita liba de'hilchasa acharei asher nistabchu b'svach b'karnei ha'bikur. Very few people could maintain the understanding and maintain their ability to learn like a Rabbi Kiva Eger, learn Rabbi Kiva Eger, Noyde Behuda, Chassam Sofer, and still be able to engage the world of academia and engage the world of scholarship. And he says, that is my v'chozos derech halimud sharabosei hakadoshim lo azafti. I never left the derech halimud of the Chassam Sofer of the Maram Shik. And that he viewed as a major part of his accomplishment. He writes at the end, v'hizchalti lichtov chidushim b'pinkazeh. I began to write my chidushim in this book, b'pinkazeh, b'yom beiz d'rosh chodesh kislev. Yom asher nitan li pinkazeh b'matana me'iz b'ni ha'bechor. His son gave him a gift. He gave him this gift, this notebook. He says, okay, it's a simin min hashamayim. It's time for me to start writing my chedushim. V'amarti, ulai zehu remez min hashamayim, she'aska lichtoiv chedushay tereshli. So if your children used to give you a notebook for your birthday, you know the hint they're trying to send. Achar asher kvar nisyeti ben menches shana. I'm already 48 years old. I should begin writing my chedushim. If only my children learn, it's enough, it's kedai for me to do it. And he goes on to say how much of his work is in German, that he had to write in German for the needs of the time, but he understands that German Torah written in German is not going to stand the test of time. So he's hoping that writing this in Hebrew, at least this will be the remnant, this will be what people remember, what the Olam HaTorah remembers, and that pretty much came to fruition. This is the standard person, the product of the yeshiva, this is the work they know from Reb David Tzvi Hafman. So let's get into it in the remaining time with the actual tshuva halacha lemaisa. Is this person who is in medical school, who went to medical school, do we still treat him like a koi? So some background information, let's take a look at the Maramakam number 21. Where the Shulchan Aruch paskins as follows: Sif Aleph, Hakoyin Muzer Shelo Litamim Emes. As we've been discussing for the past 2 weeks, a Koyin is aser to become Tamim Emes. V'lo lichol Tumas Haparshas, and he can't become Tamim to any Tuma similar to that. Yesh Omrim Dekoanim Asurim Litamim Lecherif. Sorry, this is the one we just read. I apologize. Let's start from the next Shulchan Aruch 23, Marmakom number 23. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Kohen shenasa grusha, Kohen that married a grusha, lo yisa kapov, he can't duchen, ve'ein noagin bo kedusha, and he gets none of the prestige, none of the respect that a Kohen gets. Afilu likros b'toyra rishon, he doesn't even get the aliyah of a Kohen. Va'afilu girsha omesa, even if they get divorced, or she dies, puzzled, he is still puzzled to get that aliyah. It's not enough that he gets divorced. He has to go in front of a rabbi, in front of 10 people, and say, I'm taking a neder that I will never marry someone who is aser to me. Sif mem aleph, nitma lemeis, she'eno mishiva meisei mitzvah. If he's metame to one of the meisim who is aser for him to become tame to, Pasul min haduchin. He's pasul to go duchin v'chol malas hakahuna at sheyashuv v'yikabel shelo yitame od lemesim. Until he does real tshuva and he's mekabel, that I'm not going to be mitame od lemesim. I have charato on what I did. I'll never do it again. So this is the halach in Shulchan Aruch. You're a person who disregards your status of kahuna, so we disregard your status of kahuna. You don't care about your kahuna, so we're not going to give you the respect that kahuna wants. Now let's take a look at a tshuva from the Maria Sa'ad, the first one really to the most famous, at least, tshuva, which is quoted on this issue, where he writes as follows, a very similar shaila. Let's take a look, starting in line number one. Kibalti me'oz, Ve'al Marmakah number 22. Kibalta me'oz ve'al atshuva me'rosh ve'tachtiv ve'gam mikarav zeh yomim galisi es ozan ma'alasa mipik ki libo ra'a harbe chachma v'das Torah be'ian yafe v'chol ha'mekomas ha'shaychem v'nidu she'ele v'ata hine basi lasos v'tzono u'mevukosho l'chavos lo daiti l'halacha al davar ish ploni, a certain person, rofe, a doctor, v'koyin, and a koyin hu v'tivo shal uber zeh inevitably, he became Tamei when he was in medical school. And even today, he doesn't care about Kedushas Kuhunaso. Do I have to make a scene? Do I have to protest when he doesn't care about his kahuna with regards to the isurim involved? But of course, Yom Tov comes around, he comes, he's ready to duchen. Do I have to make a stink? Do I have to be meichen and say, you cannot duchen, or could I let it slip by? This was a question asked to Maria Sa'ad. Skip down to the underline where he answers as follows. Omnam benidon didon acharisa isbe. This is a different situation. Dine bibes Yosef b'shei Mari kosav, Simon Kuf Lamed Hey, Kasav is Elishona. The old Kasav is Shmei Demar Shmuel, Kohen Shenit Mela Mason. A Kohen that becomes Tamid and Mason, She'enem Zayin Mason Mitzvah. Not one of the people that he's allowed to become Tamid, Bimazid Yifsol Min Haduchin. He can no longer Duchin. Dayek the Kasav Bimazid. What did he say? That he became Tamid Bimazid. Bechain Mashmed De Seifa. That's similar the end says, Hamitami lemesim, someone who becomes tami lemesim, vaday dumi dereisha. Obviously, it's similar to the first case of someone who married a grusha, hanoise noshim ba'averim, bimezit. Also, that has to be bimezit, not someone who did it by accident. Mashma imkein, therefore says Maria Sar, I have a chiddish. B'chihai gavna shetimeis atzmul bilimut. Chochmas nitua for a person who was mitami himself, not stamazai because he didn't care, but he was going to medical school. He wanted to become a doctor. After bimezid asa, even though he did it halachically, we would call this bimezid. Ken kevon demin hanimna haya lilmur chochmas harifua zulasa achzuke inche birishi loch mechzakinan elavadai saver mitzvah ka'avid bilimur ahu kedei sheyuchal lirapos cholim beumlese. It must be, we're not going to assume that he's a Rasha. Why did he go to medical school even though he's a Kohen? We must assume, given the benefit of the doubt, that he thought that, yeah, I'm not allowed to become Tameh, but to become a doctor, to save people's lives, that I'm allowed to do. So we will assume, until we know otherwise, that this person was doing it b'shoigeg, and if he did it b'shoigeg, there's no problem in treating him like a Kohen, no problem in letting him go duchen. So even though we know that he knows that it's usur for a Kohen to become Tameh, we're willing to give him the benefit of doubt, and assume that he thought that there was an exception in going to medical school. That's the chiddush of the Mari Asad. Now let's take a look, turn our attention to the tshuva penned by Rav David Tzvi Hoffman, and let's see what he says. She'ela, Mar Malkum number 24. Imechuyav harav le'esor likros le'torah kohen shalomei chochmas harifua shebevadei metamei lemesim be'isko benitua. So here, the question seems a little bit different. It doesn't sound like we're asking about someone who went to medical school. Now we're asking about someone who's in medical school. He comes to shul, and he wants to get koyin. He wants to duchen. He's in medical school. Are we allowing him to be treated like a koyin? Again, this is all before the heter of Rav Gorin. It could be that someone could argue that although we don't accept Rav Gorin's heter, perhaps it's enough that we'd be willing to give it, we'd say that he has someone to be soymechan, and we're willing to give him an aliyah. But as the halacha stood at this point in time, are we allowed to give him an aliyah? Says Rav David Tzvi Hoffman.
Might not mean if it was before or after.
Because it could be that he's considered more of a shogeg if he thinks that there's someone to rely on.
During.
Oh, before or after, while he's in medical school or not? So let's see. Because there's much room. It could be a person will say, I'm remorseful, I forgot, right? Shuvah, I'm never going to do it again. I'm not going to medical school again, right? Doctors don't go to medical school. That's what we begin with, right? If you're a doctor, you don't need to go to medical school. So he said, I'll never do it again. That's one child. But now the person, tomorrow's Monday morning, he's going back to school. He's touching the cadaver. So we're going to give him an aliyah on Shabbos. So says Rav David Tzvi Hoffman as follows. Yudua shepasuk b'shulchan aruch arachayim kof choches. It's usher for him to get an aliyah, actually kabel of, until he says, I'm not going to do it anymore. Look at the tshuva from Amri Asad, the tshuva l'ksav sofer. The Amri Asad suggests, we could assume that he's a shogeg. The Ulai Sover Kevin to Osik Belima. He thinks perhaps since he is involved in learning how to be a doctor, V'yochol Ayidei Zeh L'Rapol Secher, and he could cure others, that therefore it must be a heter for me to become Tomei. Osha Sover to Bemeis Nachri Lo Shayech Afilu Tumas Maga. Or he thinks, like we began, like all the different kulas, for whatever reason, he thinks that this is mutter. So again, we don't agree with him. We don't think it's mutter. But perhaps it's enough to be considered that he's not a mezid. He's only a shoyig, and therefore we're allowed to treat him with the proper respect of a koyin. Then he goes on, he digresses a little bit, which is fascinating, because as he himself will point out, this is not the question he was asked, but it sounds like he was interested in it, so he says as follows. He says, Vihine, the four lines down, Vihine yesh l'sapek, l'sapek, before we get involved, whether I could give him an aliyah, are you chayiv to give him mussar? Are you chayiv to give him teichacha? With the mitzvah of the Torah, am I chayiv to make him a cha? Tell him, you're a kohen, you can't go to medical school. So what does this depend on? We know the Gemara says, mutav shiyei shogeg v'ayu mezid. It's better that a person is a shogeg rather than mezid. If you know a person's not going to stop doing the isurim, so don't give him mussar, because he's just going to do it, be over, be mezid. That's true, except when it's mefurish b'torah. The Gemara says, if something is mefurish b'torah, so then we say, you give him mussar regardless. So now the question is this something mefurish b'torah? On the one hand, the fact that he's not allowed to become tamei, that's for sure mefurish b'torah. So give him mussar. On the other hand, says Rav David Tzvi Hafman, perhaps he thinks it's mutter because of refuah. The fact that it's also even a situation of refuah. The fact that it's also even for a non-Jew, those things are not explicit in the Torah. So how do you deal with this situation? Am I chayav to give him mussar? Am I not chayav to give him mussar? So he discusses that for a few lines. Then let's skip down to what he says. V'hine ha-Yehuda Yala, four lines up from the bottom. So Yehuda Yala in the rest of the tshuva, in the remainder of the tshuva there, he says, you should try to speak to him nicely, not with harsh words, but softly convince him, tell him that this is not the proper thing to do. Open up a Shulchan Aruch. Say, it's not me, the Shulchan Aruch paskins. The Kohen's not allowed to do this. Shezehu kvodo shecholak lo hamokom. This is your cover, that you don't become tameh, Tumas Mace, and the Rebbe Shalom, this is the way the Rebbe Shalom Ed gives you a certain respect, a certain kavod, certain kedusha, and you shouldn't violate that. Bekedushas kuhunasa sheikabel of b'fnei bezin shali yitame od lemeisim. V'hinei, alzeh loy nishalti. So far I've been discussing whether I have to give him mussar, but that wasn't your question. It's an interesting question, but that's not what you asked me. V'hinei, alzeh loy nishalti im yochiach zeh aloy meichach mas refuah. You didn't ask me whether I'm chayiv to give him mussar. Perhaps he thought that maybe you should have asked me, but that's not what you asked me. What did you ask me? V'nirashe pashat be'enav shaloy yochichah. It seems like it's pashat to you that you don't have to give him mussar. That's not the question you're asking. De'bevadei lo yishmelo, because he's certainly not going to listen to you. Lazoiv es choyk limuda, he's going to change careers all of a sudden. Asher bachar bo, he wanted, his whole life he wants to be a doctor. All of a sudden the rabbi tells him, no doctor, he's going to leave, come on. V'yisasek b'limed acher, to go into a different profession. Kizet eino osa rak bel yirashlem. That is a level of a tremendous tzaddik. Someone who's willing to give up on his life dreams, willing, once he began reading medical school, he's willing to give up on it, change professions, that's someone who's a real Baal Yira Shemayim. We can't expect that of everyone. Umalas kvoida yodeya she'isha zeh ein lo yira kizos. He's not on that level. V'yesh lo ilan gadol lismach alav. And we know that he has different shitas that he could rely on. So I agree with you, you shouldn't give him mussar. But what about the question about giving him an aliyah? So skip down two lines where the Melamed Lahov says as follows. With regards to your question of whether I could give him an aliyah, whether we could let him duchen, v'nei l'chore yeshloimar, kevon dibishogeg eino aser lalos, v'ein l'konso, yesh lahanicho lalos. We could assume, like the heter of the Yehuda Lala, that this person doesn't really think it's aser in this situation, and therefore you could treat him like a kohen. But this is only true if we're talking about someone who went to medical school in the history. Amasha Ovar, what already passed. If we know, if everyone knows that he's still being over on this lav, Monday morning he's going and dealing with cadavers. Every day he's violating this iser. And we call him up like a kohen tzaddik who's respecting his kahuna. If we don't penalize him and we let him get all respect like a regular kohen, tomorrow Monday morning, what's stopping him from going and being mitame? They treat me in shul like a kohen. No one's telling me to stop doing this, so the whole thing will become a joke. So this is the distinction he makes. If he already went to medical school and he's done being mitame, he's not going to do it again, and he takes his kahuna seriously. So we're willing to look the other way. We're willing to treat him like a kohen. We could assume he was a shaygeg. He didn't mean anything terrible by it. He assumed it was mutter. But if the person's in the process of doing something, which we will tell him is really usher to do, you don't really have any legs to stand on. So while he's in the process of doing it, we can't be mechabit him. We can't be machzik yidei ovrei avera. V'alkein mitzvah loymer lehaskan shelo yikran. Tell the gabbai, don't make a big deal of it. Just tell the gabbai not to give an aliyah. V'rakim yudeya shehaskan lo yishmel dvarav. The gabbai won't listen to you. As I mutav lishtoik, better not to say anything. So this is the ultimate psaka of the Malam Laho. Again, taking a very strong stance. He's saying if the person, while he's in medical school, we are not willing to give him an aliyah, we are not letting him duchen, because that would be in the category not simply of not giving him mussar, but that would be in the category of being machziki de'ovyevreir, telling him that we have no problem, we're even willing to give you kavod, and that's going beyond, we're not willing to do that.
How could you give him anything? You should be quiet. You
Because we assume that he's shaggy, that he doesn't really think that it's a problem.
So he says even if the gabbai doesn't.
Right, because that's based on his previous discussion of mutav shiyashagim. We say mutav shiyashagim even by deraisas as long as it's not mefurish bakra. So he thought that this. No, lo yitam is mefurish bakra, but these things that it applies to a guy, that it doesn't apply to someone who's in medical school, things like that aren't mefurish bakra. That's the crux of his tshuva, is discussing whether this is something considered mefurish bakra or not. And it comes out that there's enough room to assume that it's not mefurish bakra, and even though the lav is mefurish bakra, this exact scenario is not mefurish bakra, and therefore you don't have to give him musar. Shkoyach.